Thank you, preacher. It is good to be here. It's good to be with you. And we did have a great time last night at the banquet. It was one of those where you could laugh and enjoy yourself and enjoy some good fellowship and some good food. So it just could not have been better. And you always want to be sure you take advantage of those opportunities when they come by. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, please. I'm moving all of his stuff around up here, so later when he's lost, you'll know why, because I moved all of his stuff. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we will begin reading in verse number 1. You can follow along in your Bible. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now let's go over to verse number 19, if you would please. Verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We will conclude our reading there. To be prepared to do every good work that God has for us. It takes a lifetime to be prepared for every good work, but we also, the day we get saved, are ready to do some good work in behalf of the Lord. Now here we find that Paul is writing to Timothy, a younger Christian, and he is saying to him, Timothy, there are some characteristics that you're going to need in your life if you're going to be able to be a servant of the Most High God. If you're going to be prepared for every good work that God has for you, then you're going to need some of these characteristics built within your life, because none of us are born with spiritual characteristics. We learn them from the Word of God. And with the help of the Spirit of God, we then put them into our life to become the person that God wants us to be. So let's begin to look. He gets seven pictures here of the Christian life, or seven characteristics that we want to have the Spirit of God help us develop into our life. That first characteristic is we need the faithfulness of a steward in our life. There in verse 1 and especially verse number 2, he says, the things in verse 2 that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Faithful men and women is what we want to become. And indeed, your pastor has always bragged upon you as being faithful servants of the Lord. Be able to commit to others who will then commit to others. What are we talking about committing? The scriptures are here saying that the church of the living God must guard the deposit that God gave to the church in the beginning. That deposit is that bulk of scriptural doctrine. That is the gospel that we are to guard and give to others, who will then give to others, that the church of the living God might prosper and move forward and impact their world for Christ. We must become a faithful steward. We guard that deposit. The Bible speaks about that which was once delivered to the saints. That is that bulk of spiritual doctrine, Bible doctrine, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we are to guard that so that we keep it pure and biblical, so that it can make an impact upon our world and the people around us. We need the faithfulness of a steward. Now, in order to do that, it's important that we get our treasure from the Word of God. The world has a lot of ideas and philosophies. Some of them sound good. None of them are. Some of them sound good, and it would be easy to think that we could adapt some of those things. But we must come back to the pure, unadulterated Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not we who examine Paul to see if he is up to date with our society. It is Paul who examines us to see if we are clinging to the Word of God along the way. The ability to study and understand and teach the Word of God is a gift of God's grace. And when God gives us this gift, we want to guard it and nurture it and instruct it so that we become that faithful steward who can teach others, who then can teach others also. We also not only need the faithfulness of a steward, but we need the courage of a soldier as God's people. The courage of a soldier. You'll notice there in verse number 3, the instruction was, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Endure hardness. We need the courage that a soldier must develop as he goes off to war and to battle. In our world, we're going to face some persecution. We're going to have to deal with just life itself because we live in a sinful world. Once in a while, even our Christian brethren are going to make it difficult for us. We need the courage of a soldier to stand for that which is right. We need to remain focused on the things of God. When one goes to war, a little bit of carelessness can lead to many casualties. We do not want to see God's people become casualties. Therefore, we remain focused upon the things of God and upon the Word of God. And we notice here in verse number 4 that Paul says to us as this soldier, he says in verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Why? "That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." If we get careless, if we get entangled with things here in this world, if we allow ourselves to become worldly, if we let the world overtake our spiritual values, we're going to become a casualty in the army of God. We need courage to stand for the things that are right. This soldier then magnifies Jesus Christ. There in verse number 8, we see these words, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead." The cry of many years ago was, remember the Alamo, which was meant to motivate people to continue on with their task at hand as soldiers. Today our cry is, remember Jesus Christ. He has given himself a ransom for many. And therefore we must have that courage, that faithfulness of a good soldier. This good soldier thinks of the whole army. He doesn't just think of himself. There in verse number 10, Paul says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. The elect would be the entire church of God. And he said, I am not first and foremost looking at my life to see what I can get out of this, but it is for the elect's sake. For the sake of the church, for the sake of God's plan to evangelize the world, I remain a faithful steward and a courageous soldier. This soldier, he trusts his commanding officer. Down there in verse 11, says it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Now, those are sometimes referred to as paradoxes. It is a little strange. He is saying to us that if we live with him, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Dead doesn't usually mean life. But when it comes to spiritual things, we are to die to ourselves and die to the world, and Jesus Christ lives through us. We are to be faithful in trusting the Lord Jesus, our commanding officer. He said, if we suffer with him, we will also reign. We will also be rewarded. It will not be in vain. And so we believe what our commanding officer says to us. We do not put our faith in our faith. We put our faith in the Lord Jesus. Our faith and our feelings many times will be up and down and back and forth. We have good days and bad days. But the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need the faithfulness of the steward and the courage of the soldier. And thirdly, we need the discipline of an athlete. There in verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The discipline of an athlete. We're in times of the Olympics right now, and although I get a little tired of some of it, there are some great, great stories that come out of the people who are involved in the Olympics. Many of them spend their entire lives, the first 16, the first 20 years of their life, doing nothing but planning to go to the Olympics. The discipline that it takes to give yourself to that thing that you have done over and over and over and over again and never growing weary of it. Sometimes it seems like people just get tired of living for God. It ought not to be that way. The discipline of an athlete, it's important because not this Olympics, but the one before this, it is said that 226 athletes were banned from partaking in it. They had problems with perhaps some kind of synthetic drug that they were taking to try to get an edge, and it was found out, and they'd spent most of their life preparing for that day and then banned when it came time. That's what we're talking about here. He says here, this individual must strive lawfully. We must strive according to the Word of God. Paul had already told Timothy to exercise like an athlete, But now he admonishes him to obey the rules, to strive lawfully, lest he be disqualified. Even the Bible speaks and talks about being set on the shelf because God had called someone and was beginning to prepare them and train them and use them. But one day they disqualified themselves. We need the discipline of an athlete. Here was the Apostle Paul. He spent time in prison suffering as an evildoer. He was not an evildoer, but they said he was. We need the courage of the soldier and the faithfulness of the steward. And we need the discipline of the athlete so that we will be found faithful in the end. Paul kept the rules. He kept the Word of God. He allowed it to become his standard for his life. And in so doing, one day received the crowns that God had reserved for him. The Lord says you and I can have a crown one day too. And we think, well, I don't really need a crown or want a crown. But the day will come when we stand before the Lord Jesus. And there will be others that will cast their crowns at his feet. And in that day, we will wish, yes, a crown. I wish I had something to lay at his feet just to show him how grateful and thankful we are. We see that Paul continues here and he says to Timothy, your life, your service for the Lord is kind of like that of a farmer. Two characteristics that a farmer needs is faith and patience. Down there in verse number 6, he says the husbandman. That word husbandman isn't just referring to Valentine's Day for all the ladies who have a husband. No, the husbandman is referring to someone similar to a farmer. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of his fruits. Faith and patience. If we're going to serve God, we will need faith and patience. Here is this farmer. His work is done by faith. He goes out in the early spring and he plows. And he buys diesel fuel for that tractor. And then he goes and he buys seed and he goes out and sows that seed in the ground. But he's doing it by faith because there's no guarantee something's going to grow. There's no guarantee there won't be a drought or there won't be a flood or there won't be other problems that will come and destroy his crop. He plows by faith and he plants by faith. And after he's planted, then he waits patiently. He may walk out every a week or two to see if anything is popping up out of the ground. He awaits patiently because if he waits patiently, one day he'll have a harvest. And that's what God has for us. Sometimes we may think, boy, it doesn't seem like I'm accomplishing very much. Sometimes we just have to be patient and we have to wait. But one day God fulfills his will and his plan. One day God uses us to reach out to someone and we bring them into his church. We watch them grow. That is planting and sowing and watering and waiting. But that makes it all worthwhile when that person that we were able to bring into the church now grows and becomes a faithful steward and a courageous soldier. The farmer is actually one who works very diligently. And the Bible tells us about those who do not work diligently. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 24 says. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man who was void of understanding. He didn't realize he was supposed to work in his Christian life. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Whatever he has sown is about to be destroyed. because there's no wall of protection there. He says, then I saw and considered it well. Considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. He is saying to us, we become careless and negligent and weary and fail to follow through as God has given us our life and our health and our strength and our instruction and our understanding. And all of those things, we are to exercise faith and patience as we serve God. A farmer deserves his share of the harvest. He speaks about that down there in verse number 7. You'll notice he says, well, the verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. You have a wonderful pastor. You have a great man of God. You have someone who loves you and loves the Word of God and loves God. Amen. Take care of him. Love him. Help him. And he'll be faithful to God and to you both. Faith and patience. Then there is the skill that's needed by the workman. The skill. Let's go down to verse number 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need the skill of a workman. There are certain jobs that almost anyone can do. And then there are other jobs that take great skill, instruction, learning, experience. And he says here, we are to be diligent. We are to be zealous. We are to be committed as a workman using the Word of God. Many people seem to take far too much liberty with the Word of God. Many people seem to try their best to explain away the Word of God. We're to be workmen that are not ashamed. This Word of God, the Word is a treasure that the steward guards and invests. The Word is the soldier's sword, the farmer's seed. And we are to be skilled by rightly dividing the word of truth. We cannot serve God if we don't know God's book. We don't get to make up the ideas and thoughts and philosophies about how to run the church or how to live our life. We have to come back to the Word of God. This skilled workman strives not about words to no profit. There are always many that would like to argue about some obscure passage of Scripture when it says we are to guard the gospel. Each of God's workmen will either be approved or ashamed. Approved by simply giving ourselves to understanding what God's Word has to say. Verse 16 tells us that this skilled workman will diminish ungodliness. He says, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Indeed, our world is filled with ungodliness. The skilled workman can diminish that in his little area of the world. We can send a missionary and they can diminish ungodliness in their little corner of the world. We can support a church that's getting going and they can diminish ungodliness in their little corner of the world. That is what God has for us. We are to be skilled by study. Study to show ourselves approved. Then Paul says to Timothy, you need to have the cleanliness of a usable vessel in your life. Down there in verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Why? In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. A vessel in the house of God, we need to be clean. We need to be usable. How do we accomplish that? For God to be able to use us, we must be empty, clean, and available. Empty, verse 21 says to us, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. We have to empty ourselves of self. We have to empty ourselves of the world in which we live. We have to empty ourselves of Satan's temptations. If we are empty, then the Bible says the Spirit of God will come in and fill that void. We do not want to be a person who says, I'm going to get rid of all my sin, but neither do I want to fervently become one of these fanatical Christians. You'll never make it. Because if it's empty without the Spirit of God, then the Bible says that demon went and found seven more just like him and came back, and that man's latter state was worse than the first. We don't want to be empty and void of life. We want to be empty of self and sin and filled with the Spirit of God, which brings great life. For God to use us, we need to have the cleanliness of a vessel. We would not want to be going into the operating room and we're still a little bit awake there, and we look over and there's a table with a tablecloth on it, and there's a rusty saw. And there's a dirty needle and a drill that they just brought in out of the garage. And we think, Doc, don't you have anything better than that to use? And sometimes people must look around and say, is that all God's got to use? We need to be an empty, available, clean vessel filled by the Spirit of God to make an impact. Then we find that we need the meekness of a servant. The meekness of a servant. Let's go down to verse 23. Verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness. So he says we're to be gentle and we're to have meekness. Now, meekness is not weakness. We've already said we need the courage of the soldier and the faithfulness of the steward. So meekness is not weakness, but meekness thinks, what kind of an impression am I going to make on this person I'm trying to talk to? Many times in a restaurant, a waitress may well see us bow our head and say grace, and then 5 minutes later, we are chewing them out. We don't always get things like we'd like it to be, but if we've bowed our head in prayer, we need to have that testimony continue in front of that person there. That's meekness, gentleness. The Bible determines as a servant that we become a slave to Jesus Christ. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want to be a slave. We were a slave to sin before we got saved. Now we're enjoying the slave of Jesus Christ. that life where we have His blessings, His rewards, His help, where He said, cast all of your care upon me because I care for you, and He would carry our burden if we would offer it to Him. That's the kind of meekness, gentleness that the servant, the slave of Jesus Christ can have. Verse 25 again, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's one reason why it's so difficult many times for people to receive our gospel message. They are opposing themselves and don't even know it. They are rejecting that which would be the greatest help that they can find anywhere, but they are opposing themselves. Verse 26 says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. We give them the gospel, and if they will allow the Spirit of God to speak to their heart, they can recover themselves out of the snare of the devil by turning to Jesus Christ. That is why we guard the deposit. That is why we guard the gospel. That is why we take to ourselves many, many characteristics that God says need to be there in order to be an effective witness and servant of God and Christian in His church. We need characteristics that will give the gospel credence in the eyes of the world. Shall we bow our heads? Our Father, we thank